Well, it's good to be back. For those of you who are first-time guests, I'm Jay McFadden. I had the privilege and the honor of being the senior pastor here at Connect Church, and had the privilege, Karen and I had the privilege of being out of country last week celebrating 34th wedding anniversary down in the Dominican Republic, down at Punta Cana. Had a great time, but glad to be back. As we were sitting there singing this morning, and I don't know if you noticed it or not, there were a couple of songs that talked about clothing, being clothed in his righteousness. And reminded me as we were sitting there about a story when we were there. We had an all-inclusive package. We got some taxes back this year, and we could have paid bills or we could invest in us. And Karen and I looked at each other and said, you know, we're worth it. And so we invested in us, and it's been a long time since we were able to get away and had 7 nights in beautiful Punta Cana, but it was an all-inclusive, or so we thought. Well, you get all-inclusive, it includes airfare, includes the hotel, it includes all the food and all that stuff, and but we didn't know, and no one told us, that unless you were properly clothed in some of those restaurants, what you had paid for, you could not get in. And I went on vacation, and guys, I went to download. I went to do nothing but lay on the by the pool and rest and sleep and eat. And so I brought shorts and flip-flops. That's it. And I had collared shirts and some really nice golf shorts. But lo, to our surprise, we found out that some of the restaurants that we had paid for would not grant access unless we had long pants. Men had to have long dress pants or island pants, and closed-toed shoes. No one told us that. Now, it was okay for women to wear, they're not shorts, what do you call them? Capris and open-toed shoes. And I'm like, well, if women can wear open-toed shoes, as long as there's bling on the sandals, why couldn't men? Are our toes that gnarly that they don't want it around the food? But we weren't, I wasn't clothed properly, although I thought I had entrance and had I been clothed properly, I had entrance into everything. And so I had to buy a pair of what I now call pajama pants. They're these white Hawaiian pants. And the shoes that I'm wearing, the concierge had to find me a pair of closed-toed shoes. And so what we thought we'd paid for entrance into everything cost us another $110 or something like that for the pants and the shoes. Otherwise, we would have missed out. You're saying, why in the world is he sharing this? Because I want you to know this morning, I thank God that Jesus paid it all. There ain't anything extra. He's paid it all, and I get access. And if you know Jesus Christ, he's paid it all for you. And you have access to everything that eternity has to offer. And you get to be at the feast table with Jesus himself. If you don't know for sure that that's who you are, I pray that God would not let you leave this place until you rest assured that Jesus paid it all. And you have access to where he's at. Part of the reason, before I speak a little bit this morning, I wanted to kind of share the need that I had to get away. It had began to kind of think through some of the last 18 years of ministry, come to realize I really hadn't been on vacation much in the last 18 years. And you know those commercials? How many of you know the Snickers commercial where he said, you're not really who you need to be when you're hangry? And they give them the Snicker bar, and then all of a sudden it's who it's supposed to be. Well, can I just confess to you and ask for your forgiveness? I have not been who you needed me to be. I had neglected myself emotionally and spiritually, all in the name of doing things, doing the right things, but doing things. And as a result, was not able to, or was ill-equipped to give you what you needed as a pastor. And really struggling with that. Really struggling, I know, with a lot of questions that we've had the survey, and we've had lots of questions. It was even asked this morning of me, are we going to make it? Yes, we are. The reason we're going to make it, because this is Jesus' church. And the reason we're going to make it is because he's got a plan for this church. And so a friend of mine gave me a book. And I have to tell you, I have literally hundreds of books that people have given me and say, you need to read this. Usually when they say, you need to read this, there's an agenda behind it. And so many of those books, if I'm going to be honest this morning, which I am, go unread. But I had this one book on my desk for quite some time, and I decided I'm going to read this book while on vacation. Well, I have to share you, I finished it before we ever landed. It's a book called Turnaround Pastor. And in that book, it really began to highlight several things to me. One, that for us to be who we need to be, then I have to be who God created me to be, and I have to really make Him my number one focus and not the church. Does that make sense? But as I began to read through this guy's story, and it was one guy's story, some things began to happen inside of me that helped me realize that, you know what, I'm not the only person that feels this way. And I got a lot of encouragement out of this book. I want you to know I came very encouraged that our church is at the junction of turnaround. You know, this story was about a story where a church had run 2,000 or 3,000 and now had dwindled down to 175. Can you imagine the atmosphere in the church and the concern in the church? And this pastor came to that church with that history, and God began to work in his life. He struggled, he tried in his own efforts to do all these things, and obviously it came to the point where we all know that he had to let go and let God do what he was going to do. That was me, just trying to do things in my own strength and in my own way, and sometimes trying to force things that didn't need to be forced. And for that, I just, as a church, I would ask you to forgive me. As individuals, if I was, I don't know what you can't call it hangry, because I don't look hungry, do I? But if I was spiritually hungry, I ask for your forgiveness. But came back with a renewed commitment. Because I just felt like God used that book before I ever landed, and then having those days, I don't want to get you jealous, but just laying around by the pool and being served all day long, I had a lot of time to think, had a lot of time to contemplate and meditate, and just really came away with a new resolve to say, okay, God, this is your place, these are your people, I am yours, do with us what you want. And so I would ask you to pray for me and hold me accountable to that. But I came back asking even God, particularly this morning on my way in, God, just again, just you know what I read, you know what I've been thinking, you know what's been pressing on my heart. Could you just encourage me today with just, you know, because I'm kind of needy that way. Sometimes he has to slap me and says, how many times do I got to tell you? So this morning, I just want to encourage you, the church, that God is active and he's got a plan for us as a church, because unbeknownst to me, someone who doesn't go here, came this morning and presented you, the church, with a gift of $5,000. Tithing to our church when they don't even go here. That's right. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but I know what God said to me through that is, I've got this. Don't go back to where you were. Quit worrying about it. You do what I've called you to do, and I'll do what I told you I would do. And so my job is to, I really believe, is I hope and pray with God's help and with your accountability to be a better man, to be a better pastor, to be a better friend, to be a better husband to my wife, to be a better father to my children, to be a better grandfather to my grandbabies, and most importantly, just to be what God called me to do. So this morning we were talking last week. Thank God for Jared. You know, I love Jared and everything I heard that he did a great job last week. He's taking some time off this week, and he and Christina are moving and getting a new vehicle and getting registered for school and all the things they need to get done for this next season of their life. But he introduced to you this second to the last core value called mission-minded service. Mission-minded service. It's part of our building block series, but it is one of our core values to act like, walk like, talk like, and be like Jesus. You and I are to be on mission. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to kind of camp out just shortly this morning. Somebody, I said, I'd probably preach a short message, and I got to thinking about it. And I said, man, I don't want to start off already lying, so I will try my best to preach. This may not be the theological masterpiece that you were hoping for this morning, but I do believe it is a word from the Lord concerning this topic about service, mission-minded service. And the scripture this morning is found in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. Actually, it starts a little bit further up in verse 18, but for our sake of this morning, we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. And Paul is writing to the church there at Colossae and trying to give them instruction on what it meant to live for Christ, what it meant to live and be the church, and just encouraging them with some down-to-earth, rubber-meets-the-road teaching. And here's what he said, and we'll back up a little bit at 18 when we get further into this. He says, whatever you do. Now, let's stop right there. I want you, if you mark up your Bibles, would you please mark up your Bible and underline whatever you do? Just underline whatever you do. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically, as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. You serve the Lord Christ. Now, we're talking about missions. What is missions? When we think about missions, we think about going to a foreign country. We have images conjured in our mind that of perhaps maybe like the Peace Corps, or we just had a team come back from Africa. Our student ministry went on missions to the Houston area. We think about missions as somehow we have to go away. But really, what is missions? Missions is really simply put is making God known to others. That's missions. Our mission is to make God known to others. The Bible clearly says that you and I are God's ambassadors. And I, as an ambassador, our job, our mission is to make our boss, if you will, our Lord, our Savior, known to others. And people will catch a glimpse of who Jesus is as they look deep into our lives, as they listen deeply to intently to our conversations. But missions is making God known to others. And so to kind of set the groundwork, we need to establish a truth here this morning. Because oftentimes as church members or partners like we refer to here at Connect, and let me just tell you, we refer as members means you have rights. Partners means you have responsibilities. It's not a clubhouse, okay? This is a battleship. And members have responsibilities. Partners have responsibilities. We sometimes have the tendency, though, as church partners or members, to think that it's somebody else's job to go on missions, that someone else is better equipped to be on missions. We think that missions is somewhere else. But I want you to know this morning this truth, that being on mission is not about being where you want to be, but where God wants you to be. Now, we need to establish that this morning, because it is God who places us in strategic positions all around this city, all around your neighborhood. It's very strategic. Even you may not feel this way, but it's the truth. God strategically places you in the schools that He wants you in the workplaces that He wants you in the circle of friends that He wants you in. It's not being about where you want to be, but where God wants you to be. And once we begin to understand that God has placed us somewhere and given us a purpose, which is to make God known to others, it changes how we view missions. Now, there are things on the foreign mission field. We need those things. We desperately need those things. And anybody who has ever been on the foreign mission field knows that being outside of where you're currently at has a way of changing you. But I got to tell you this, those of us who are actively on mission where God has planted you know that God changes you if you're on mission for Him. So being on mission is not being about where you want. And there's just three, real briefly this morning, I want to point out three characteristics of this core value of ministry or a service. I'll get it right here in a minute. Mission-minded service. First, look at the first part of 23, and I've already asked you to underline. Mission-minded service, the first thing you need to understand, it is situational. Mission-minded service is situational. It's to be done in the situation in which you find yourself. Mission-minded service is not situational, wait till my situation changes. Mission-minded service is in the situation where God has placed you. He says, whatever you do. Now this morning, how many teachers do we have? Raise your hand. Okay. How many students do we have? Raise your hand. Okay. How many bosses do we have? Okay. How many employees do we have? Okay. Any unemployed? Retired? I wish I could raise my hand. Hal, put your hand down. Whatever you do, if you're out on the playground, if you're in a schoolroom, if you're in on a assembly line, if you're toting an M16 across a battlefield, or you're doing push-ups and sit-ups, if you're being a mom and cooking meals for her kids, or a husband cooking meals for his wife, whatever it is that you do, it says, you do it enthusiastically. And what I believe is here is that mission-minded service is never stationary. It's if we go back, and we quote this all the time. I've been to many missions conferences. What's the verse that we use? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, right? What does it say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age. We read that and we immediately couple to all the nations, but how we should read that is as you are going. That's how it's written. As you are going. Now you got to understand, when those disciples went out, why were they scattered? Because they were being persecuted. And Jesus says, even as you're going, wherever it is, whatever you're doing, as you're going, whatever you find your situation, you are still required to be on mission, making my name known to man. You don't have to wait to get there to show it. You're to show it as you're getting there. Does that make sense? Missions is so different when we put it in that perspective. And he's with us, and so whatever we do, whatever situation that we find ourselves in, and yet we have terms that we like to use because it compartmentalizes our Christianity. We use words like, well, that's my secular job. What is that? That's simply an excuse to say we don't have to be spiritual in a secular situation. Can I just let you know there is no such thing as a non-spiritual situation? God places us in those places and in our situations strategically, so there can be spirituality in those places lacking it, no matter where that is. I'll never forget, and I remember being in, and I share these stories because it's 20 years of my life. That's about all I can remember, some of those things. But I remember, being in the military is a difficult place to be and try to be a Christian. Can I just tell you that? The language is rough. The people are rough. The activities are things that you wouldn't want to write home about. It's hard being in that, but God never said, just because it's hard, you're not to be on mission for me there. Now, I love the fact that through my career, God promoted me and I was able to climb the ranks fairly quickly, and when you become a senior person, you become kind of a boss, and all those underneath me, I had some influence over. My guys were strong, and they made a lot of great scores on their PT scores, because anytime they took my Lord's name in vain, they had to do 50 push-ups. Don't have that opportunity out here. I understand that. But that situation could have been, so, well, that's my secular job. I'm just in the military. You may be out on a job site. You may be in school. Well, that's where everybody talks. You may be hanging out with a group and suddenly you say it's secular. Listen, if you see your job is secular, then you will never, ever realize your true missional field. If you're waiting till God shows you where your mission field is, you just need to open your eyes, because he's planted you there. You are strategic parts of God's purpose for the church. Man, the greatest missionaries are sitting right here. In just a few moments, the greatest mission field you're going to depart into and be missionaries there in the situations in which you'll find yourselves in. And that's what God asks us to do, is just simply, it's not difficult, it's simply making God known to those around us. If you see your job as secular, you'll never realize your mission field. It doesn't matter that your job is studying at school. It doesn't matter that it's working in the fast food industry. It doesn't matter if you're pastoring a church. If you are in a place where God has put you, then start seeing it today as spiritual. Because here's the deal. You can reach people that I will never reach. And I will reach people that you will not reach. Because we all have different spheres of influence. We all have different situations. We all have different whatevers, whatever we're doing. Everyone here is different. But if you begin to view your whatever as a situation where God can use you to make himself known to others, then and only then will this core value begin to take root and begin to manifest itself in your life. It's situational. The second characteristic I would encourage you to look into is found in 23, kind of the last part of that verse. It says, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. Now, before I get into the second point, that matters. That matters. There's a lot of us that have there's a movie out now, I guess, what is it, Winnie the Pooh? I will not be going to see that. it's one of those things I've promised. It looks like I'm not taking my grandkids to Chuck E. Cheese. It's not going to do it. Satan's earthly residence right there. But you remember, I've almost lost track right here, okay? enthusiastically, Eeyore. How many of you know Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh? What do we know about Eeyore? I'm a Christian. I go to church. I sometimes read my Bible, but I should read it more. Does that not describe some of us? Oh, it's Sunday again. Do I really got to go? It says, do it enthusiastically. You don't have to go to church or go gather with the saints. We get to go gather with the saints. I don't have to go on mission. God has purposely created me. I get to be on mission wherever he plants me. I mean, if God be for me, who can be against me? Does that not pump you up and get you enthusiastic? And what's the difference between that is, oh boy, he's asking me to say something to somebody about Jesus again. No, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. I don't want to be around Eeyore Christianity. Amen? All right, let's get to the second point. You do it enthusiastically, but why? Because mission-minded service is scriptural. We're supposed to do it. Look what it says. As something done for the Lord and not for men. If you love Jesus, you'll be on mission for him. If I love Jesus, I'll do it, not to just because I got to tick a box and please the pastor or make sure the deacons and the elders are looking at me or whatever. No, I do what I do because I know God is always looking at me. I know he's always checking in on me. He's always seeing if I'm doing what he created me to do. He wants to make sure that I'm doing what he created me to do as something done for the Lord and not for men. And then, you know, at first we said, whatever you do, underline whatever. But here you go. Use that same phrase and underline you and see how it changes that sentence. So it's whatever you do. Now it's whatever you do. You see, we sometimes try to even spiritualize missions and say that's for somebody else. No, it's whatever you do. And if we want to do the flip side of the coin, you're either going to be whatever you do or whatever you don't do. We want God to be made known to men. We want to give generously to missions so someone else will do it. Friends, you want to see a church get on fire for Jesus Christ? Watch people in their situation begin to share and make God known to their neighbors and their fellow students and their fellow employees, employers, and you watch what happens. That's when people are going to get excited about Jesus Christ. And by the way, then people will start coming and then people will go, and that's how it expands. We're not supposed to just let somebody else do it. Whatever you do. So you have to understand that missions is situational. It's where God has planted you. But we also can't leave here today without the full understanding that everyone here is a missionary. Everyone here is on mission. Now, to make this easy, just point to somebody and say, "You're a missionary." Go ahead. Now, to make it harder, say, "I'm a missionary." Now, you're responsible for it. All of us, we're responsible. I'm a missionary, albeit sometimes not a good one, when I'm driving my truck. Were you behind me last week? I knew I needed to take that name off the back, so that's why I took the fish off, but you'll get that in a minute. Everyone's a missionary. I can't find anything in the Bible that says you're too young or too old to be on mission for Jesus. It's not there. Can't find it. I can't find it that says when you hit 65, you get to close your Bible, put it up, and never serve again. I can't find it where it says, you know what, I'm in school, so I can't be on mission. I'll wait till I get married and have kids and get old, and then I'll do it. Or if I was single, I would go on the mission field. It doesn't matter your status. Everyone here is a missionary, and everyone here is a missionary in the situation that God has given you. Here's what Peter said. 1 Peter 4:10, he said, based on the gift each one has received. Now, let me stop right there. Every one of you have received a spiritual gift. If you said yes to Jesus Christ, the moment that you said yes, God instilled within you a gift. That gift is not to be hoarded. That gift is to be shared. That gift is to be used in order to make God known to others. He says, based on the gift each one he has received, here it is, use that gift, use it, he's talking about the gift, to serve yourself. Self-serve. No, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. We live in a self-service society. Really, we live in a self-serving society. So I was thinking through this self-service. I'm going to date myself here, and some of you, I want you to raise your hand with me so I don't feel like I'm the only old one here. I remember growing up and getting in the car, and you would drive into a gas station, and there was this little rubber hose right there in the middle of that, and you'd go ding, ding, ding. You'd drive in there, and a station attendant would come out, and he was a full-service station attendant. Anybody? You never pumped your own gas. In fact, I heard, I think I saw it on one of the news stations up north somewhere, that, where is it? In Oregon, they don't know how to pump their own gas. But, probably against the law, okay. But think about the point of this. We are so used to having someone else serve us instead of serving others ourselves. It's such an interesting concept to me, but we're to use our gift to serve others. You know, when we started focusing on self so much, because we were just cheap, we didn't want to give them an extra, 10 cents a gallon to have them pump the gas. Now, my wife, she gets full service gas attendant. His name is Jay. And a car wash guy. I am her Alejandro. So, says use the gift to serve others. But you know what? We're gathered as the church. Are you using your gift to serve others in this body? Call Connect. Really? We need to be. Whatever you do. So what is it that you do to serve? Now, not everybody serves. It says different gifts. Not everybody's going to do and have the gift of preaching. Not everybody's going to have the gift of giving. And we all are supposed to give, but there is a special spiritual gift of giving. Not everybody has the gift of hospitality. Not has the gift of knowledge or prophecy or speaking in tongues, but everybody has a gift, but that gift is to be used for the benefit of others. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Lastly, I would just tell you that the last few verses of this, the last part of 23 and verse 24, that mission-minded service is not only situational and it's not only scriptural, it is spiritual. And you say, well, that's a little different. It is a little different. Whoever wants to become great, well, first off, look at what it says here. It says, knowing that you will receive, you do it for the Lord, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from who? The Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. I wonder how that would change our effectiveness as individuals, as a church, if we really could wrap our minds around that statement. We serve the Lord. I love Isaiah 40, it talks about they that wait on the Lord. You know that word is an action word? It's not a wait on word. It's an active word. And again, I will just tell you, we have never been to a resort like we were this last week. We were pampered. And it was tempting not to come back, but we love y'all so much we came back. There's some truth in that. Couldn't afford to stay down there. But I have never seen that kind of waiting on a table in my life. I mean, I could get two sips out of a glass of water, and they'd pour it right there. It's the first place I've ever been where someone took a pair of tongs and put the napkin on my lap. And I'm just like, wow. I said, thank you. And they said, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And you'd say, great. And they'd say, you like your food? And they'd say, excelente. I learned a little Spanish while I was there. Hola, that was the greeting of the day. But service, they were actively watching to see what they could do for the people that they were called upon to serve. And all, it wasn't just one. I mean, if one wasn't there, they were a team. And you, all these people, like, where'd you come from? And I mean, they were bringing it. You'd just get done with just about the last bite, and you look down, your plate's gone. I mean, they were so actively waiting upon the customer, it was overwhelming. You couldn't help but be impressed. Church, what would happen if we were doing that, whatever God wanted us to do, whatever we sensed, wherever He sensed He wanted us to go, wherever He sensed we should go clean up something, wherever He sensed where we should be involved, and immediately people were willing to say, I want to be a part of that, instead of waiting for someone else to do it. How many of you ever had bad service at a restaurant? And it usually revolves around service. Think about that. All right, we're going to kind of bring this home just a little bit then. Get out your steel-toed shoes, because here it comes. How many of us, or how many people you think are out there that have had a bad experience with the church because of bad servants? I'm not talking about the service. I'm talking about the service. When a bunch of people gather in a restaurant and it's all about them and there's nobody to serve, nobody's getting fed. Everybody's going to be frustrated. Being on missions, serving others is spiritual. Something, he says, done for the Lord and not for men. What does God want you to do? Where did he put you? That's the first place to start. What's my situation? That's where he wants to use you. How does he want to use you? What gift do you have? That's how he wants to start with you, with that gift. And it's mandated to us, if we want to act like, walk like, talk like, and be like Jesus, then that's what we're supposed to do. I love this in Matthew. Jesus said this, talking to his disciples. Matthew 20, verses 27 through 28. He says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave." Those are kind of powerful words today. Kind of negative words, but Jesus is not meaning them in a negative way. "And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave." Now, I will tell you this. One more airport experience here. Don't quite understand this. We took an airline, it's called Sun Country, and it's great airlines. We enjoyed it. But it's amazing. Karen and I were sitting in Punta Cana at this very interesting airport, and it wasn't even time to board, but one person, one lady, I'll never forget her, she gets up and goes to the counter. She's going to be there and stand there so she can be the first in line. She's already got a ticket with a seat number on it. But she's going to be first to get on the plane. And guess what happens? Then you see all these people getting this big long line, and they're waiting there for 30 minutes to get on there quicker. Why? They're thinking about themselves, and you all know why, so that they can get the luggage space and try to cram in the stuff that's not, anything got in their hand is not a hand carry, I'm telling you. They got 50-pound bags that they're trying to pass off as a hand carry. But they want to be first. And I'll never forget, this lady got on the way that they did this. It was a big open-air airport, never been like that, but you walk out and you get onto a bus. And then you wait for the bus to get full, and then it takes you out to the plane. Well, the way this worked, and I just thought it was humorous, she gets the first one on the bus, and they make her to go to the back. Well, they load everybody else in this bus. Guess who gets off last? They would not open that door. She had to wait till the very last to get off. I thought, man, God, your scripture is alive and well today. "Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. And here it is, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Listen, if Jesus didn't come to be served, why do we think we should be served? Jesus came to be a servant. And if we want to act like and walk like and talk like and become like Jesus, then we need to do whatever it takes to serve as Jesus did. You need to find your place of service. The happy people, never met a group of happier people, I don't think, that smiled like they did were those group of waiters and waitresses that served us at that high-end restaurant. I mean, they smiled all the time. You ever notice that those who aren't serving are souring? You ever notice that those who are sitting are griping? The people who are serving back there right now watching our kids, they're being filled because they're fulfilling mission-minded service. Those that help in our student ministry, those adults and those college students, we couldn't do what we do here at Connect if it weren't for our college ministry. We're so grateful for what you do and how you're willing to really set an example for us. And I just want to shout out to y'all that serve in our ministry, especially our college students. Y'all just do such a great job. For all of our volunteers, you do a great job. But every one of us, can you imagine what would happen if all of us begin to serve and give our lives as Jesus did for the ransom of many? So as we close, I want to close with our question, so what and now what? Well, mission-minded service. Mission-minded service is for anyone because it is for everyone. Mission-minded service is to happen any place because it's supposed to happen every place. Mission-minded service is to happen anytime because it's supposed to happen all the time. There's no checking out or clocking out on the clock for Jesus. Say, well, I'm off duty now. Wouldn't that be nice if all we had to do was put on our Christian faces on Sunday morning and we punched it out on the way out and we could act like the devil the rest? Oh, wait a minute. I think we do that, don't we? Mission-minded service is for any time because it's to be practiced all the time. And mission-minded service is to be conducted any way and every way. Paul said it this way, I become all things to all men that I might win some. He's not saying he negated the mission or the message, or he diluted it in any way, shape, or form. What he was saying there is what I've been trying to say this morning. In the situation I find myself, I'll do whatever it takes to be on mission, which mission means making Jesus known to others. That's who we're supposed to be as Christians. That's who we're supposed to be as a church. Are we ready? One final story, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. And I know some of y'all probably tire me sharing some of these stories, but, you know, I can only draw from the reservoirs that I have. And many of y'all know that I was in investigations for all those years in the military, and I sometimes miss some of that. But in the forensic field, how many of you have never heard of DNA? We all know what DNA is. It has transformed so many things. Let people who were wrongly convicted go free. It's convicted those who were missed in the first go around. But there's one basic rule of forensic science, and it's the one rule that has helped solve millions of crimes around the world. And it basically states this, that when A comes into contact with B, then A will leave something behind on B, and B will leave something behind on A. In other words, it's called the rule of contact. That's why they will solve things, and it takes a while to identify. It's not like you see on CSI and all that. It doesn't happen in 20 minutes. But I promise you this. It's probably not the best example, but it's the only example I can use at the moment, so forgive me already in advance. When you get old like me, the hair leaves here and starts going in different places. And Karen's already, I need to stop, but I can't. If I lay down on freshly white sheets, and there's the rule of contact, and I have a great night's sleep, and I get up in the morning, and I look down, I'm like, what hedgehog died on my sheets? It's called the rule of contact. If you go into a restaurant and you put your hand down, you will leave a fingerprint. If you touch a glass, you will leave something behind and there'll be something on you. If you fire a gun, it will leave residue on your hands and there'll be cells on the gun. It's called the rule of contact. That's the rule that every contact leaves a trace. It's not only true physically, church, it's true spiritually. When you and I are in the situations that God places us and we come in contact with those that don't know Jesus and they need Jesus, we are going to leave some type of trace evidence of what we believe in Jesus on them. And when they apart from us, what trace are we leaving? What are we leaving behind? And I want to just challenge you this morning that wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever situation that you find yourself in that God has placed you in, leave a trace of Jesus. Leave behind a blessing. You and I carry the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we come in contact with others, we should leave a blessing. So, in closing, four questions. And I'm going to ask, while I ask these questions, a favor. You would bow your heads and close your eyes and listen intently to these four questions. Nobody listening but God answer these questions. In relationship to what you've heard this morning about serving, is my church a better place because I go here? Is my workplace, my school, a better place because I go there? Is my neighborhood a better place because I live there? Is my home a better place because I'm a part of it? You really want to hone down on what those questions really ask us. Does my church know Jesus more because I'm there? Do those in my workplace and my school know Jesus because I go there? Do my neighbors know Jesus because I'm their neighbor? And is my home, does my family, do my children, do my parents, does my spouse see Jesus more because I'm a part of them? Missions is making God known to others. Church, will you do it? Would you please do it? Would you not wait till you're sent? You've already been sent and situated. Will you be more like Jesus? Father, it is in Jesus' name, the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we bow before you. Oh, and Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you that you're speaking to hearts even right now. You're revealing areas that need to be addressed. You're making corrections where those need to be made. You're challenging us to move off of status quo. I pray, God, this morning that we would not leave this place until we have dealt with whatever it is that you've shown us. I thank you, God, that you've strategically placed each and every person where you've placed them. I pray, Holy Spirit, now you would open their eyes to see that as a strategic position. God, that you would begin to help them experience the spiritual as they follow your scripture and make known Jesus to others. Help us do that as individuals, as families, as a church. God, I pray that the world would begin to, without a doubt, know and experience your DNA. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Kristen Clay to lead us just kind of in a time of response. As we do that, I want to make available here, make this just a place of prayer if you'd like. You may would like to have someone pray with you or for you, and I want to encourage you to do that as well. If you'll look to your right, you'll see an opening there. Let's just all do that. What does that say? It says prayer. This is a place where you can go and have someone pray with you and for you. Spend some time where it's not distracting, and you can kind of just spend some time with someone else in prayer. But you may want to come, and there's just something about taking a step of faith and kneeling here, what I would call the altar, and doing business alone with God. Whatever you want, or you can stay after the service. You can do both. You can pray here, and then someone would be glad to meet with you and pray with you and for you and know what's really going on and minister to you through prayer after the service. All I would say is whatever God is showing you, he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it strategically. He's prompting your spirit now because it's like a love letter to you, a personal invitation saying, look, I'm going to let you know me a little better, but you got to come to me. You got to do what I'm asking you to do. When you do that, he begins to open up and reveal himself, and you get closer. And as we talked about, it's something that's spiritual. Will you do what God asks you to do? Let's stand and respond just as God wants you to do. And I tell you what we'll do, Kristen, is after we've sang a little bit, Kristen will dismiss us. Again, feel free to pray after we've responded. Stay and pray. I encourage you to stop by on the way out. Stop by where the TVs are and sign up. Sign up for a small group. Sign up for a place where you show interest in service. There's still spots if you want to go to Israel. And then when you're done, go over and see Replenish, a place where by just buying water, you can help others on mission. There's just lots of opportunities here as God leads you.